Hey, everybody.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
We're so excited because on this episode, we decided to interview Tyrone and Anika Jones.
Man, such a great couple. And they have a really great story as well. So I hope you guys are dialed in and ready to hear some, because a lot of this stuff is really, really good stuff, relational, for no matter where you are in your relationship. So
absolutely. All right. So stay tuned. Let's go.
All right. Hey, what's up, everybody? Today on the Life and Love podcast, we got some special guests today. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah, we got our good friends, Tyrone and Anika Jones, the Jones family. They've been like really, really good friends over the last, like, we've known them for like, what, 10 years?
How long have we known you guys?
Oh, I think longer than 10
years. Yeah.
At least 10 years, maybe more. Like, probably since Erica's like 12 years or so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man. Yeah, so we're excited to have them on the show. Good friends. We're going to learn a little bit about who they are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kind of dig and find out. It's their anniversary weekend. Congratulations.
Yay, happy anniversary. Yay,
thank you.
How many years you guys been married?
19, the big 19.
Oh, my
goodness. Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that's crazy. Happy anniversary, you guys.
Thank you.
So,
let's start off a little bit with introducing who you guys are and, you know, just introduce yourselves to our listeners.
Okay. My name is Anika, and as obviously, as they've stated, I'm married to Tyrone, married for 19 years, and together we have 19 children.
We are not deleting that.
We have.
Sometimes it may feel like that, huh?
In the spirit. That's why I was going deep, and you guys could have followed me. I was going deep. I mean, 6 children. Like, Tyrone's eyes.
Who you married to?
What?
6 children. 6 children. Praise the Lord. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, Tyrone.
Hey everyone, I'm Tyrone Jones. I had the blessed opportunity. I know that 19 children. Like, hold up. It seems like that though at times.
It does seem like that. Huh?
We have a crew. We have 3 boys and 3 girls, 6 children, not to be confused with 19.
Uh-huh,
amen. Uh-huh. And so the oldest is 16. The youngest is, I believe, 7, and 3 boys and 3 girls. They keep us busy. So it feels sometimes like 19 children, but 19 years, praise the Lord.
For sure, yes. For sure, 19 years. You guys are such a beautiful family. I mean, yes. Like, we've had the pleasure of just, like, seeing like, your kids just develop and grow, mm-hmm. and you know, going through some of those, the ups and downs, the miracles and stuff like that, things that we've witnessed. We can't unsee those things, and it's just been a total blessing for us to witness some of those things.
Absolutely. I agree with Joe. I feel like you guys have been like a really good example for us in our marriage, and you guys have given us really great advice and things like that. And so that's why we're super excited to have you guys on today.
Absolutely.
So we can talk about you guys as a couple.
And not to mention, this is our pastor. Come on. This is our pastor. If we was to have anybody be our first guest.
Yes.
It's our spiritual leader, and we're so grateful for everything that he's poured into us. He's been like one of the been like one of like two of the most influential people in our lives and how we operate in our marriage and stuff, and such a great example.
Yes.
And so I think it's awesome to kind of and fitting to have them on on today's episode as our guests.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, thank you all for those nice words. It's such a blessing to know that you're having that impact, because sometimes you don't know. You're just like, Lord, we're offering this to you, mm-hmm. and you want to be faithful to it. So thank you all for that. We appreciate the opportunity to be here and to connect with you all today.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, we're going to plug the church, of course. It's Redeemed Church. We operate out of like suburban Illinois, Pingree Grove, Illinois. Mm-hmm. But we reach, you know, parts of Elgin, Carpentersville, Huntley, Algonquin, in the surrounding areas. And there's people that tune in from everywhere as far as Evanston. And so if you're not dialed in, you can find them on Facebook, or you can go to redeemnow.com, I believe.
.org.
Mm-hmm. And you can Google that and put that in the address and learn a little bit about the church. So enough about that.
Yes. Yeah, so everyone loves a good love story. And of course, this is Life and Love. So we want to talk about the love and how you guys met and what drew you to each other. So let's go ahead and talk about that.
All right, let's see.
His version or mine.
I know, right?
We want it all.
Everything in between,
yeah,
right?
That's the fun part.
Well, I'll go first. So I, this was our junior year of college, going into our junior year of college, and I was staying with my brother because sometimes in the past, I've been delivered, I had the tendency to be a bit of a procrastinator. So I didn't find my apartment, and my brother and I, we went to the same school. So I didn't find my apartment before the year started. So I had to stay with him for a few weeks until I got settled into my own apartment. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to the bus stop by his house, and I, you know, I'm a pretty friendly person, and I go to the bus stop and I'm like, oh, he's cute. It was Tyrone. And I, you know, just being who I am, just started engaging him in conversation. And he was not really, he wasn't mean, but he wasn't very friendly. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess, you know. So that was our initial meeting.
Yes, that was the first time. And I'm probably sure we bumped into each other at various points, but yeah, that was the first documented conversation that we had.
Yeah.
And like she said, you know, it was on a bus stop. Again, it was the start of the school year. So many things running through your mind. And it dawned on me after, you know, the first, because she did initiate the first conversation. And then when the bus came, it's kind of like, you know, we went to our separate seats. And then afterwards, like when he got off early, so it was like, wow, that girl's pretty nice. I didn't even really, you know, uh-huh. I got her name, but I was like, elsewhere, preoccupied.
I hear you, man.
And it kind of dawned on me, like, what just occurred? Like, wow, you could at least try to, you know, connect with her some more. And so I made it a point within the following weeks to try to connect with her by going to the bus. I was like, well, hey, you know what? I'll bump into her. She's on my bus stop. You know, I'm pretty sure she's probably going to an 8 o'clock class like I have right now. So, hey, you know what? I'll hit it up, you know, same time, but different day.
Yeah.
And as I started to continue to go, I noticed that she wasn't at the bus stop. So I was like, oh, so to my friends, you know, I kind of put an APB out and it's like,
hey,
check this. Cause I called her the sunshine girl. Cause she had a beautiful smile that lighted up just like the sunshine.
That's on display right now.
Yep. And so I told my friends like, hey, you know, if you guys find her, let me know. Cause this is the girl I'm trying to, you know, get to know. And so, they were on the lookout, and to my understanding, no one could find her because later on, I found out that she was, you know, she had, you know, found her own apartment and she was at a different place.
Yeah. Missed his chance.
Wow.
I moved.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. So what happened? Like,
yeah,
how did you guys
reconnect?
We ended up bumping into each other a few months later, and it, this time the roles had flipped, and it was the beginning of the second semester this time.
So imagine, like, hey, you know what, this probably started in August.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I don't see her again until, like, maybe January.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, I believe it's January.
I was not as friendly this time around because we were both in the bookstore, and I was leaving out, and he saw me, and he was coming from track practice with one of his friends, and he sees me. He's like, hey, that's the bus stop girl. And I was ew, he's so ghetto. I was just like, no, you will not yell at me like, hey, bus stop girl. And, you know, his friend's name was Charles. Like, come on, CV, come on. And then they try to, like, speed walk, hunt me down. I have my books and
He didn't want to miss his chance.
He didn't, right. But oh my goodness. I was like, you did not have to yell at me though, like for real. Like, so he was like, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to, was it the Fallen?
The Notes, Notes and Quotes.
Yes,
another bookstore.
Another bookstore. And he's like, what a coincidence. I'm going there too. And I'm like, right. Let me tell you what this guy does. He ends up having his friends take my books, carry my books. He's walking and talking with me, right? And I'm just like, oh, my
goodness.
That's
what friends are for, right?
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. Shout out to the homies. Yes.
Exactly. He was a good friend that day. And so on this second time, the second encounter, as she said, I was very excited and couldn't subdue myself. And so just was elated, and it all came out. And so we end up seeing my roommate. You know, he ends up. And my friend end up going with my roommate, and you know, they end up leaving. I told him I would just walk with her because, hey, I'm not going to let this opportunity slip past. So we go to Notes and Quotes. Like she said, the roles are flipped now. Mm-hmm. She is just giving me cold shoulder. I'm trying to engage. I'm trying to, you know, just find different topics. She's short. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It was a troubling time. She was difficult. So it was like, wow, I'm not getting nowhere. I mean, I'm thinking we're about to get this thing moving. The only thing that was moving, her legs were moving quicker and quicker. Try to get home. And so when we finally get to her place.
Because I lived probably a few blocks away from the bookstore.
So during this walk, it was like, nothing's happening. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't envision this. You know, sometimes you have to have a vision.
Right,
and it's,
right.
I didn't envision it going this way. And so, you know, she finally gets to her place. And you just could tell that, hey, she was like, all right, you know what? I'm out. Peace. Close the door. You know, no type of connection. But I remembered her name. So now instead of calling her Sunshine Girl, I could call her now Anika.
You call me Bus Stop Girl.
You know, Sunshine. Had these code names. You know how we are with nicknames.
Oh, of course.
And so, now I knew it was Anika, and then it was like, okay, boom. You know what? We made some progress.
So, and then fast forward, I think a few months later, we ended up bumping into each other because at this point, neither of us were saved. So we were at a party. I don't know if you remember. And that's when he finally ended up getting my number. He was so nervous. It was hilarious. I was there with one of my friends. And here he come again with his friends, right? And he's like, hey, do you have a phone? I'm like, aww. You're so awkward. Like, yes, I have a phone. He goes, do you have a phone number? I go, well, if I have a phone, I would be so difficult. I was like, well, if I have a phone, yes, I have a phone number. He was like, forget it.
There might have been a possibility that you just carrying a cheater.
Yeah. I fumbled big time.
Yeah, he was so nervous.
I fumbled.
And at that point, he was like, forget it. Never mind. And he starts walking. And I was like, no, come back. And then I ended up giving him my number. And our first date was to Baskin Robbins, and the rest is history.
Right.
That's awesome.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. What was like the proposal like?
Yes.
What was that?
I was going to ask.
Oh, he was romantic.
So, so we end up, wow, what a night that was.
Yes.
So at the time, she was living in Evanston. I was living in Southern Illinois. And we were supposed to try to meet up, I think, you know, in the middle and back in where we met in school in Champaign, because that's the halfway point. So she ends up, I believe, missing her transportation.
Yes, I was taking the Greyhound to meet him in Champaign. And again, I was a little late and I missed the bus.
So that delayed us from connecting. So,
but let me tell you how sweet he was. And I didn't know that we were planning to meet in Champaign, and I didn't know that he had plans to propose to me that night, right? And he was so sweet. He drove all the way from Centralia, and he was supposed to stop in Champaign, but he ended up coming to get me.
Wow.
Right?
Right, right. Yes. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, he came all the way to Chicago.
So swooped up. So instead of making his halfway 2 hour trip. Now I make a 4 hour trip. Go get her. Yeah. Then bring her back to Champaign. And then we end up taking her to the same bus stop, the place that we met. And that's when I proposed to her.
Yeah, he proposed to me the same place where we first met, 22 Illini bus stop. Yes.
That's what's up. Yeah.
The same location. So it was kind of neat.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It was nice. That's awesome. That's awesome.
So after the proposal, what happened then? What was the process to, you know, your big day? What did that look like?
Oh, we weren't playing any games. People were like, what is going on? We were like, let's go. Uh-huh. He proposed in February and we got married in August. So we weren't yet. It wasn't a long engagement at all. Because we were like, we know. Like, because it was something that, so a little bit in between. So prior to him proposing to me, we had both come to know the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And anyway, there was a breakup. We got back together, you know, whatever. And so we didn't take it lightly. And we did have conversations before he actually proposed. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And we sought godly counsel. So for us, it wasn't like, oh, we're not really sure if this is what we're supposed to do. We knew, so it was, what's the delay?
Right.
And, you know, people were kind of shocked because we were both pretty young.
And we were going back to grad school. Yeah. So we were, you know, going back. But we got to open up some doors for us to get our schooling funded as well. And so once the engagement came, it was like, hey, let's not delay. Plus, we wanted to live in a place where God would honor and God would be pleased with us.
Yeah.
And so we decided to, instead of having a long withdrawn, you know, engagement, we decided to get married that summer, right before we started graduate school.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And how old were you guys at the time when you were engaged?
He likes to say he married an older woman, but this man, I was 23, he was 22. Okay. But let's just understand, I'm only older by a couple months. So I'm born in April. He's born in August. We got married on the 11th. Yeah, he loves saying he married an older woman. I'm like, dude. So we got married August 11th, and his birthday's August 18th. So he was a few days shy.
He's got a birthday coming up, anniversary. Yeah. It's a big month.
It was a huge month. Yeah. August is an awesome month for us.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yes. That's awesome. So. Like, you get the big day, you got the proposal, you get the big day with the marriage. And so take us through maybe the first few years of marriage and what was that like?
You know, it was the best way to describe it is a roller coaster. Initially, you're in this honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
It was like all good and you're just walking on clouds for the first few months. And then... you know, reality start to sink in because we started to now, hey, you know what, come out of those clouds and then have to live with each other.
Wow.
And in the process of living with each other, she saw the true Tyrone and I saw the true Anika.
And it wasn't pretty
all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we had moments where it was just trying to become one and trying to be on the same page. It became difficult. And just looking back on it, I was very immature and stubborn and selfish and not willing to give in and holding on to unforgiveness. And as a result, you know, that caused this up and down for the first few years. And so one of the things that helped us when I look back at it is that we had a consistent theme, and that theme was we was always connected to some community.
Mm-hmm.
And that community was really trying to be pro-marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was pro-Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't perfect, but we recognized that, hey, especially in the early get-going, that was a consistent theme. When we was living in Champaign and then when we transitioned up here in the Northwest suburbs, we always had community where we were part of a small group and part of marriages that was really trying to work it out and to be a God-honoring marriage.
Yeah, because there were many times in the early years where I was like, Lord, I know I prayed for confirmation, but I don't know if I heard you right or if everybody else. No, really, it was extremely difficult. Like, it was beautiful initially. But like he said, I think one of the things that I can really say that I think helped us to stay married you know, other than obviously the power of God, was just having community. Because I think if we were out there left to ourselves, that we could have easily gotten a divorce. No question about it. But we had people speaking into our lives.
Yeah, community, I agree. Community is so important, especially when you're starting out. I just think about our marriage, and, you know, we were 20 and 21. And if we weren't connected to people who were seasoned, who had maybe been through some rough patches, and even having our parents as examples and things like that, if we were leaning on or being influenced by how the world does things or how others who really aren't connected to us, but we're just watching their example, it'd be a little bit difficult, and we could probably give in to, you know, some of those modes of thought that, hey, maybe divorce is acceptable, or maybe I treat my wife this way, or, you know, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, just take these different approaches that the world subscribes to. And so I think community is definitely important.
And then also being willing to just be vulnerable in the community. It's not to say that, hey, we were vulnerable with everyone in the community. However, as we continue to get to know different ones in the community, in the local church that we were at in Champaign, we connected with a group, Couples for Christ. But within that group, there was a subgroup, and then another small accountability group, a couple that we connected with who we're still friends with to this day, and where we could just be flat out honest just have counsel. And sometimes, you know what, I was just in tunnel vision and wasn't able to see her perspective and able to communicate my thoughts to her in a healthy manner. But by having that other couple there serve as an accountability was definitely helpful, and it worked vice versa. And so as a result, things were still a roller coaster, but, you know, they could have been lower. The lows could have got really low.
Yeah.
But because we were willing to be vulnerable in the community, to me, I think that would really help, because, you know, you had two other objective people that could help to balance and, you know, give perspective sometimes that you can't see.
And I just want to say this really quickly. He hit the nail on the head. We were in a community, and like he said, this one specific couple, they're really still good friends of ours. And the thing that was really good, I think, about connecting with them is that initially we were putting up this perfect image, because you love Jesus, I love Jesus, and we go to church and praise the Lord, and how's your marriage going? It's wonderful.
Right.
And then things started falling apart, and it was like, we're done with this act. And it was so nice to be with this couple and them being vulnerable with us, because, you know, it's something about when people are able to, when they're able to show you their scars, you in turn are able to say, let me show you my scars as well. So they weren't pretending, and it gave us the permission to not pretend either.
And we developed trust, and, you know, we could trust them that, hey, they would be sincerely praying for us, not blasting us or not, you know, gossiping on us. And so vice versa. And so as a result, it didn't happen right away, but through time, you know, this trust and respect started to grow. And as a result, you know, we kind of helped each other to navigate the first few seasons. Because you got to realize, young people, I remember vivid conversations, you know, with other young people, our peers at the time, saying, hey, you know what, how old are y'all again? What in the world y'all thinking about? You know,
getting married college, that young.
What's up with that? You know, man, you can wait till later, man. That's like 40s, you know. And so to connect with like-minded individuals helped us, you know, tremendously. And so, again, we can't take the credit ourselves. It was all God, but he specifically put folks in our path. And as we moved up here, we were able to continue to have community, able to get connected to seasoned couples that were able to speak into our life. And as a result, you know, we had to take heed to it as well, and, and really listen and not feel like we had it all together.
So good. So good. So Hey, you guys, this is part one of a two-part series with the Joneses, and already just so much good information.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed their story.
Absolutely.
But they're going to, next week, we're going to move into some things that they had to navigate as a couple. And just, you guys, I'm telling you, like, when we first heard this episode, it was just like, wow. You know, so I cannot wait for next week.
Yep. Part two is on the way, so you don't want to miss it.
You do not want to miss it.
So keep it locked.
All right, you guys.